sweetheart, if I don't get a kiss from you, take out some insurance on me, baby.
Tons of insurance on you.
I love that song, Mike. Where does Mike get all these great songs? He's got
a catalog in his head.
Yeah.
Talking home insurance, we've got a lot of ground to cover. We want to talk about how about hardscape? How about landscape? How about riders? How about... we've already talked about flood insurance. I mean, all the things that will surprise you that are in and not are in your policy. If you've got a question about it, give us a ring. We've got the expert Clay Jansen from Focus Insurance Services here. Our number is 1-888-767-4348. Gretchen called and has been on hold very patient. Let's see if we can...
Hey, Dad, I have a quick story for you.
Before I go to Gretchen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hang on, Gretchen. I'll be right there.
The winner of the Diamondbacks tickets, Johnny, just called me. And him and his wife are just so ecstatic to have won these tickets. They've been longtime loyal fans. And they also are from a small town where their home team was called the Biscuits. And they
got to be in the South somewhere.
You don't in the artichokes,
you don't name a team the Biscuits if you live north of Mason-Dixon line.
Best part about it is apparently they would drive around in a golf cart around the field and shoot with an air gun biscuits up into the stands. I know about you, but that sounds pretty awesome to me.
All right, so he won the Diamondback tickets, right?
Yes, and he is so excited to be able to take his wife out on a nice afternoon after working on their house so hard.
Yeah, he'll enjoy those seats. He really will. It's a good game.
He also had a suggestion for a show topic, home warranties he was wondering about.
Okay.
Wanted some information on that.
We're going to actually cover that topic in this show this hour, but let's get to Gretchen first, and then Clay, we've got like eight things we've got to cover in a half hour, so it's going to be a hopping show here. Gretchen, yes. Welcome, and thank you for being so patient. How can we help you?
Very good. I wish I didn't have so many insurance questions right now, but we did get hit on Monday night really bad. Our flat roof section of our upstairs literally ripped off. It just peeled back almost completely off and fell to the downstairs floor of our house. So the amount of water that we got in our upstairs was really unbelievable. So,
now, what cross streets are you closest?
We're at Cave and Shea. And actually, this is Gretchen Tugut. So hi, Jennifer. How are you? I know you too.
I should have recognized that voice.
Know,
oh, Gretchen, poor girl.
I know. Yeah, it's too
house
bad,
full of people.
Yeah, I know. And my not quite full. My husband was out of town for 3 days, so he missed the excitement. But
funny how that works.
Yeah. So wonderful. So the water the first night was really bad. We just tried to collect with buckets and everything else. And the second night, our ceiling caved in the upstairs because of the weight of the insulation was all just dripping everywhere. So girls came running downstairs, the ceiling fell in, and it was really exciting. But anyways, tomorrow morning, the insurance adjuster is coming out. And so I have just some questions about his visit because it's very obvious about the flat roof section that and then all the interior damage from the storm. But where it becomes a little bit fuzzy is there were some windows leaking where water was coming in pretty good, and it was on a totally different section of the house. And we had work done about 2 years ago on those windows, had new seals and all kinds of things done to them. But to me, I look at this and I think, how on earth, without sounding dishonest, is this insurance investor going to look at these windows and say this has nothing to do? I don't know if wind. So I don't know. I'm looking at this and saying, I know that we had water coming in all over. Do we just start to walk around and ask the insurance guy what's going to be covered and what's not? It's kind of a sticky situation because I don't know if just our house had some sort of microburst with what happened to the roof. And then we have issues on different sides as well, if that could have been possible.
All right.
Screens were ripped off the window, stuff like that was just kind of unusual. It had nothing to do really with the roof either.
Okay.
But I don't know how will I ask for other things too to be looked into as far as the insurance policy goes? Does it have to be related to the flat roof, or can other things be because of them being damaged also be in on the same claim that we're pursuing with this roof? issue.
This could be a lesson that we can help a lot of people with, because a lot of people are going to have adjusters out in this following week, given the storm damage that was incurred really statewide, but primarily in the Phoenix metro area. So what's proper protocol with the adjuster showing up?
Gretchen, our heart goes out to you. And like Rosie said, there are going to be a lot of folks that are exactly in your situation. I think the one thing that you really have on your side here is sounds like a lot of this damage is wind related. It sounds like, you know, the roof, you know, some other of those situations, maybe even with the windows. So what I would suggest, a couple things. Number one, grab your insurance policy. Right. It's not a fun document, but it's a pretty easy read, even though people don't think, you know, it's the most fun thing to do. Look down into the section that says very specifically, what do we cover? And it'll be listed that simple. It'll just say, what do we cover for you? Second thing, have you had an have you had a contractor already come out?
She hasn't had yet. This adjuster's going to be the first one visiting the property.
So if you can, I would suggest maybe even reaching out to somebody today. Maybe that's Rosie certified, and asking them to maybe join you on that visit and be present and walk through that with you. Have them come out and assess the damage for repairs, because I think that person would be a really great advocate. But yes, when you said, hey, can we just point out things, you know, basically walking around the house, I would highly encourage that you do that. And I would highly encourage that you get a nice list going on a, you know, 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper or a pad and start writing down all those things, because I suspect by the way you're describing even some of the windows leaking that there's definitely going to be very likely some coverage for that. They will, like insurance companies do, we got to, you know, respect that it's a business for them, and they are trying to be as accurate as possible. But I would definitely get somebody on your side, have that contractor join you if it's not tomorrow, have them follow suit in very short order, make a detailed list, share your concerns with the adjuster, and make sure you're taking pictures of everything too. I think that's always a good place to start.
Yeah. You can't take too many pictures.
You can, and video on your camera phone, yeah, on your, you know, cell phone, take 100 or more and make sure that you've got that basis.
Now, Clay, we don't very often get a question from Gretchen like this early in the process. Generally, when I'm called into the situation, it's, hey, the adjuster's been out here. They're showing me what they feel they're liable for. I've got an estimate here that's twice that number. Where do I go from here?
Right. So we get this question a lot, and we get this question a lot from new clients that are coming on board who have maybe been frustrated before. So here's really how we explain it's a process, it's a path. And we encourage folks that when you do have that claim, take it step by step. And we know, trust me, I've even been through it before, right? We all have. But taking it step by step is important. Number one, right, get the damage under control. Get your insurance company involved. Number two, make sure that you've called your agent. Number three, just like I mentioned to Gretchen, go ahead and call that certified contractor, that licensed bonded contractor. Get them out so that you get an estimate of your own. That's a big deal. You don't want to just rely on exactly what the insurance company says. Get an independent estimate on your own.
I think it's important for homeowners to know that the insurance company can't dictate who you use.
That's right.
The adjuster can't come and say, use this guy.
They will give you a list of preferred folks that they've used,
yes,
but it is absolutely not required. And that's where I really think where Rosie's, you know, certified program really comes in handy. Find that person that you can trust, have them come out. I even encourage folks, have two folks come out, mm-hmm, right? Get a couple sets of eyes on that. And then once those two estimates come together, one from the insurance company, one from your contractor, see how close they are. If they're within striking distance, you know, maybe you've got some leeway. Maybe you can get that adjuster at the insurance company to be flexible and make that happen. If they're far off, that's probably where, Rosie, you're getting the calls, right? Which is, if that number is $1,000, $10,000, $15,000 off, I think that's where people get frustrated. But that's when I would have that contractor who does insurance claims, who lives and breathes it every day, write a very clear letter to the insurance company on your behalf and say, this is really where the current costs of these things in this community locally is. This is where the price is going to be. Once you start that process, it does take weeks. And unfortunately, we tell folks it's not an overnight thing. We want it to happen yesterday or tomorrow, but it can take up to two or three weeks to get their attention, to get them to come back out, to revise their estimate. And then there's the final step. If you just can't get a resolution, it's been weeks, it's been maybe a month, you're getting frustrated, it's interrupting the kids getting to school, cooking food in the kitchen, that type of thing. Then you can, you know, I would say take that next step. And it's the final step. The way really I think the insurance company even sees it is getting that public appraiser and hiring somebody that's that third party.
That's all they do.
That's all they do.
They don't work for insurance companies.
They do not.
They represent the damage.
That's right. And this is actually even a clause in most insurance policies, believe it or not, which is the appraisal process, which is if you can't come to a conclusion, the insurance company already has a plan that they're going to get an independent appraiser, you're going to get an independent appraiser, and then they're going to mediate, right? It's mediation just like it is with any, you know, legal document. So then they're going to be able to get together with those independent appraisers and go from there. But again, we tell people don't jump to that, because if you jump to that and skipped a few steps, I think what you'll find is the insurance company becomes very inflexible. But if you use the process,
great tip.
Yep. If you use the process, take it one step at a time. Trust me, we know it's frustrating. We know you want to get the kitchen back in order or the kids' bedroom or the bathroom. But if you just take it one step at a time, I think you'll find the results are a lot better for you.
Another question we got, and they couldn't hold on, is how about landscaping damage? A
saguaro
cactus that was blown over.
Yep.
The tree blows over onto the car. I think Mike said in his own neighborhood, he saw an olive tree that the limb came down and it was sitting squarely on top of the car.
Yep.
Is the broken limb covered? Is the car covered? How about, we've got a call here on hold right now, 150 feet of masonry wall came down.
Yeah.
Hardscape, softscape, landscape. Yep. Is that all covered in the...
Let's start with that fence, right? Let's start with that hardscape. So other structures, that's what it's going to be called underneath your insurance policy. Very, I would almost say 95% of the time covered, right? The second part is plants, right? Is trees and shrubs and saguaros. So fun little fact about your insurance policy, you got to assume most of these plants and trees and shrubs are not going to be covered, but there are a few exceptions. This is what what you don't know about your insurance policy. If that tree was vandalized, probably going to be covered. If it was hit by lightning, probably going to be covered.
Interesting.
Right. So there are very few exceptions, but there are exceptions. So grab your policy, dig in deep, right? It's right under there. Trees, shrubs, and other plants is typically what it's called. But fire, lightning, right? But not wind, not rain, right? So there's definitely going to be some things that aren't covered for those trees and shrubs. And you will be limited on how much the insurance company does cover if they do cover it. For example, maybe your company only covers $500 per tree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might have a tree that's a few
40
decades
year old.
Yeah. That's right. So you might only get a $500 check if that tree was actually covered.
All right. When we get back, Johnny, who won the tickets, who participated in the show last hour, wanted to know on a show topic suggestion, how about home warranties, Rosie? Where do you sit with home warranties? I know where I sit. I know where Clay sits. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk about the value or the invalue of home warranties and how it applies to you, your family, and your home.